Network connections.
Network connections good.
Recording?
Recording.
Talent ready?
Talent is ready.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Local Edge Radio. This is Local Edge Radio, the show focusing on what matters to you here in Western North Carolina, from politics to entertainment. To get in on the show, call 252-4348. That's 252-4348. Now, Blake and Leslie.
Welcome to the second hour of Local Edge Radio. I'm Leslie Grutch, your solo co-host. Blake is on jury duty right now. We're broadcasting live from the Harvest Farms Organic Studio, and this hour of Local Edge Radio is brought to you by Biltmore Park Town Square. The new EV plug-in stations are now installed in the parking garage. Parking's always free, and now you can charge your electric vehicle. So if you've got one of the new Chevy Volts, for example, Motor Trend's Car of the Year, you can plug it in at Biltmore Park Town Square. And I also want to let everybody know, listeners, you can experience Vision Airlines' brand new service from Asheville Regional Airport by visiting 880therevolution.com and registering for a trip for two to the sugar white beaches of Destin and Fort Walton Beach. Three nights at the Emerald Grand Resort are included. You've got to log in now. While you're there, you can click on Listen Live and stream the show live, or click on the studio cam. You can see all the action going on in our tiny little studio. And there's a ton of action right now because we're launching into the Voice of Beer with Opus from the Thirsty Monk. Mm-hmm. And he's brought with him a couple of guests from Green Man Brewing. Why don't you introduce your guests for us, Opus?
Well, we've got we're focusing on the local breweries for the next month or two at the Monk. So I figured might as well bring in the most widely recognized for an Asheville brewery. Mm-hmm. We've got Dennis and Mike from Green Man Brewing in the house.
Hello, Asheville.
Represent.
Well, off the air, Dennis and I were talking about Green Man Brewery. You bought it recently, relatively recently, in beer history here in Asheville.
That's correct. You guys actually had me on the air the day we reopened. We had to close for about a month to make the government happy, and
yes.
It's been a great year.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I carry Green Man's IPA at my restaurant, Tingles Cafe. We were just talking. I wish you had your beer in bottles so we could carry it at Sazerac as well.
You never know. Someday, maybe.
And you've got with you Mike. Mike and I share a little history. We're both from New Orleans, and we were just talking about our respective businesses back in the day.
Yep. I had a homebrew shop on Magazine Street in New Orleans for 13 years called Brewhaha, and worked at a brewery down there, a short-lived brewery called Day Brewing Company, and did some guest brewing at Abita while I was there, too. I moved up to Asheville about 3 years ago.
And you were saying you really like it here. You really feel at home here in Asheville.
Yeah, I love Asheville. You know, it's really laid back, and it's just so beautiful. And the beer scene is just fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to help.
I mean, the per capita, that would be the equivalent of New Orleans having like 75 breweries. So.
Wow. That's an interesting perspective. I mean, I hadn't thought of it that way, but we do seem to have an enormous number of breweries per capita, but they all seem to be doing quite well.
We just got to make the beer good. That's the trick.
That's
make
the
it good, and the
success.
Rest will fall into place.
Make a good product. And Green Man is the second oldest brewery in our community. I don't know if everyone realizes that, but Green Man's been around for quite some time.
Yeah, I think it's got a really recognized, I think, cherished symbol and icon and branding. We believe the beers are coming out that Mike and John, our head brewer, John Stewart, are putting out better than ever, and with the with the new ownership, we were really able to just squarely focus on the beer and the future, and do some different things and invest back into the brewery so that these guys can make the best beer possible for thirsty Ashevillians.
I mean, because that's a big decision for an entrepreneur to make. I mean, obviously, you wanted to do beer, and the decision then becomes, do I buy an existing brand, or do I just start something from scratch? You made the choice to buy an existing
brand.
That's
a very good observation, yeah. Certainly felt like Asheville didn't need another brewery, I'm not a brewer. So I was lucky to have Mike and John in there already doing some great stuff, so it's been going well. I I thank Asheville for the support.
Wonderful.
Just for a personal note, the Jack of the Wood and Green Man beer, when I first came to Asheville and before there was a Thirsty Monk and before there was the number of breweries that there are today, I went down to Jack of the Wood and visited Asheville and drank there on a daily basis. Got to know everyone in Asheville just from that one meeting spot. And it was that beer that was there that convinced me that Asheville was going to be the beer mecca. And it was one of the reasons I moved here. And it's great to see that that brewery is like it's expanded way beyond just Jack of the Wood. It's, mm-hmm. It has its own brewery. It's a few blocks away downtown. Its own tap room, growlers available everywhere, and on tap at different bars, like even premium beer bars like us.
And you have such an iconic logo. I mean, you alluded to it earlier, but the image of the Green Man is on all the growlers.
It's cool.
You've got it on the pint glasses here. I mean, it's just unforgettable.
If any of your listeners are, that sounds pretty big. We're pretty small, man. We have a lot to thank for Mr. Wong up at Highland, and he's our pioneer in this town, you know, we are just a really small brewery, so I don't want it to sound like we're this huge brewery.
Well, I mean, you know, it's and to your credit, you're a small brewery because, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people take a brand like Green Man and the first thing they'd want to do is leverage the brand, and it is an iconic brand in Asheville, and mm-hmm. just grow it as big as they can, as quickly as they can. And mm-hmm. you've kind of preserved the footprint for now.
I think we're taking selective growth and you know, I think we're doing it right. I hope everyone would agree with that. And we're not trying to grow too fast. We do certainly aspire to grow, but with a keen eye on the beer first.
Mm-hmm.
And so far it's working.
Well, what are we going to taste today? I see you've got a lot of glassware out here.
Well, it's up to you, Wells. We brought three, our flagship IPA.
Let's break some out and start pouring.
Mike, you want to talk about the beer?
So this is the Green Man IPA.
Okay. And a lot of the growlers you see around town are clear. This one is brown. Is there a reason for that?
To me, it's kind of silly to have a clear growler. It just opens it up to being hit by light, and you get skunky mm-hmm. beer. So I wouldn't understand why anyone would have a clear growler.
Interesting. So look for brown growlers, or I guess that applies to bottles as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Some breweries can get away with clear bottles and not have the beer get skunked because they're not using real hops.
Ah.
Like Miller, they use a special hop extract where they extract out the part of the hop that would make the beer go skunky. Mm-hmm. So that's why they can use the clear glass.
Wow. Who knew that you could do that? It's sort of like artificial beer.
But it's triple hopped.
Okay.
We triple hop our IPA as well.
Our IPA is sort of a cross between the traditional British style IPA, which is more malty and caramely mm-hmm. and not so aggressively bitter and aromatic as some of the American West Coast IPAs. But it also has a nice crisp finish to it and a nice subtle hop aroma. So it's kind of crossing the bridge between a British IPA and an American IPA.
See, I don't know if you were just implanting that into my subconscious, but that's exactly what I was smelling as I was, you know, smelling the beer. I was smelling what you were describing. Some of that sort of floral aroma, but not real heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a little bit of the malt. So,
right.
Our IPA actually went what I call under evolution for a few months. We were after a little bit more of a hop aroma, which you didn't have originally. And it took a couple of batches. We actually dry hopped. A lot of our drinkers picked up on it, and some liked it a lot, actually. But we've got it nailed down, and this is our IPA. It's the same IPA it's always been. We've got a little bit more aromatics on it,
mm-hmm.
and we're real happy with it.
It's really nice, and it's a beautiful color, beautiful kind of light amber color.
A little darker than most IPAs out there, particularly West Coast style.
What's the alcohol content of this?
6.2.
Which is kind of on the high end of low?
I would say your average pale ale tends to be 5, 5.5, and then your average IPA tends to be 6 to 7.
Okay.
So we're right there in the middle.
Okay. Interesting. I like this a lot. Of course I like it. I sell it.
Well, it must be good because Opus is putting it on tap for us at the Smunk. So that's a compliment right there.
Smunk is our very affectionate term for thirsty monk South.
Okay, that makes sense. The South Monk, Smunk.
Yeah, we figure if we need, a Twitter name has to be as small as possible.
This is awesome. I mean, this is really good. And I can vouch for the fact that customers ask for it by name. They want to know specifically, do you have the Green Man IPA? Because several breweries, obviously nationwide, hundreds of breweries make IPAs. But people are very specific about Green Man.
The thing I found about IPAs is that they don't really travel well. The hop aroma and flavor drop off in about 4 or 5 weeks once bottled. So if you're going to drink IPA, you should try to drink local IPA. Because the fresher you get it, the better it's going to be. If you're drinking IPAs that are from California or Maine or something like that, you're not going to be getting what the brewer wants you to get. And it's almost a shame to be doing that because it's not the beer that it was meant to be. So, another reason to drink local is hoppy beers. They really are much better fresh.
Huh. That's good to know. That's another reason to buy local.
This is a hop town, man. They like their IPAs. But if you don't like, there's a lot of folks that don't like hoppy beers. Mostly the ladies that come into our tasting room enjoy our.
Wow, I have Brewgasm coming on the show tomorrow. I'm going to have to ask her what she thinks about
She's
that.
An anomaly, I think. But on the other end of the spectrum is our extra special bitter, and that's our maltiest beer. And we can talk about that one real quick if you like. We've only got three, so.
We've got a couple of minutes. You want to go ahead and crack open the next beer?
We have to drink up our IPAs.
Okay, we'll chug them up. When you say ESB, extra special bitter, I mean, I like extra special. That sounds lovely. But bitter doesn't sound so lovely. Why would this be more appealing?
Why don't you describe the beer, Mike, but I'll explain why we use the traditional name. Certainly, we could call it an amber or a brown ale, I think. The color is very brown. But this is more in the traditional note. John has told me more than once that he's very proud of this beer, and we've been told it's one of Asheville's best ESBs out there.
Because so. I think the name might scare some people
it
away.
It certainly does.
The name is a bit of a misnomer. It's generally not as hoppy as most IPAs are.
And that's people describe the hoppy flavor. For some people, they describe it as the bitterness in beer. Okay. So
they say a tribute to British brewing is the fact that they can market a beer called Ordinary Bitter. It sounds like the worst possible name you could have for a beer. It's ordinary and it's bitter. But that is, 80%, 90% of the beer that's being sold in England is just pub bitter. And the reason it's called bitter is not because it's bitter. It's because it's slightly hoppier compared to the sweeter brown ales. But they tend to be very balanced beers. They're never aggressively hopped like we would consider an American pale ale or IPA at all. And there tends to be three types of bitter. The original or ordinary bitter is a very low alcohol beer, maybe 3.2% alcohol.
Is there an example of an ordinary bitter here in America, a brand name that people would recognize? Because I've never seen
it. It's really not bottled and distributed. Just because it's a so low alcohol, it's not going to travel well.
It's no fun.
It's a beer you can drink all night.
Does anybody just brew it for fun around here? Or is that just not?
I just had a special bitter, which is a step up from ordinary bitter on tap at the Green Man. It was a little special batch I did. And that's about 4.3% alcohol, so it's still pretty low. But in England, that would be considered a fairly hefty beer. And then an extra special bitter is also known as a strong bitter. And it's a pretty rare beer to find in England. The term was coined by Fuller's, and a lot of people know Fuller's ESB. But if you go to England and you're looking for a strong bitter, it's going to be hard to find because most breweries produce only two beers. They do a bitter and a special bitter. So our ESB or strong bitter or special bitter is about 5.6%. So it's a little more in line with American taste. And it's got a nice full caramel malty flavor, some nice fruitiness from the Fuggle hops that we use. It's definitely a very traditional British style beer.
Fuggle hops, that sounds so Middle Earth. Sounds like something out of
Leslie,
Tolkien.
Leslie, implore your female listeners to not be scared of color or fancy names, because this is a very approachable and
I tend to go towards the darker end of the color spectrum in terms of beer. And I think there are more women than you would imagine who are learning their own taste in beer. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not afraid. In fact, Blake's the one who doesn't like the darker beers here on this
show. That's true, except for the one he keeps talking about.
That one Kentucky stout. Breakfast stout. We got to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to be tasting some more beer here on Local Edge Radio. It's the Voice of Beer with Opus from the Thirsty Monk. He's got his friends Dennis and Mike from Green Man Brewing here on Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk.
This is Local Edge Radio.
Welcome back to Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie. I'm Leslie Grutch, your solo co-host, and thank God, because it's the Voice of Beer with Opus from the Thirsty Monk, and I've been missing you, Opus. It's been the hardest part about having Mondays off. I love having my Mondays off.
I'm sure you've been doing the days off.
But maybe I should just make a trip down to Thirsty Monk every Monday to get my fix.
Might as well. If we can't be on the air, might as well just meet up in person.
Yes, I agree. And we're having a great show today. Opus brought with him a couple of guests, Mike and Dennis from Green Man Brewing. We've tried the IPA, which a lot of people are familiar with here in our community, the ESB, and we learned the history of the ESB. And I just find it interesting that in England, they only make by our standards, lower alcohol beers. I mean, do people over come from England and just get trashed on American beer?
As far as I know, yeah, they really do. They're used, it's a much
maybe
more.
That's why we think of the Brits as so obnoxious. Maybe they're just inebriated.
Well, they're always going for quantity as well,
right?
Their pints are bigger than ours. They have the imperial pints. So generally, when you go to a British pub, you're getting 22 ounces of beer. Just from a full mug. And so they drink more than us, but they drink lower alcohol beer.
Yeah, the culture in England is more about after you go to work, after you get off work, you go to the pub and have 4, 5, 6 pints over the course of the night with your friends and still be fine.
And then you go home and tuck your kids in.
Yeah, I mean, if you're drinking 3-2 beer, my friend Peter Cadu, who is the head brewer at Dixie Brewery, called me up at 1 in the morning one night and was like, I just drank 9 pints of bitter. I'm not even buzzed.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So you got to kind of warn your British visitors that they're not getting their usual low alcohol beer.
And to continue the British stereotype, if we can.
Yes, Les. I have a brother-in-law who's British.
Their taste buds, they're not as accustomed as to the strong flavors that Americans are. Hmm. You know, when they have a sweet, a digestive, they call it, it's one cookie will last them for an entire month. And usually they'll say, oh, well, I don't dare have, one digestive, one cookie. So when it basically translates to beer, too, they're drinking a lot of tasteless stuff.
Interesting. Who knew? I mean, you think of the UK as one of the homes of beer. I mean,
it's declined over the years. Lately at Green Man, we've been doing some historical British beers, and they were huge beers back in 1700s, 1800s. They were, 9, 10, 12% alcohol beers. But a lot of it has to do with the World Wars, where there would be shortages of malt, so they would be making just the wimpiest beer to get through, because all the barley was being used for making bread for the troops. And then it just never
another
really recovered.
Another reason not to wage war, people.
And there's a reason make that beer, not the war. American craft brewing has been on an amazing growth trend for almost 10 years now straight. I think it's 8 or 9. And imports have been way down, particularly England. Mexican, Dutch. There's been a huge shift into American craft beer.
I love that. I mean, for one thing, it's much more sustainable. Buying beer locally in kegs is probably the most sustainable way to buy any beverage other than water.
Well, think about it. It's got to come all the way over the ocean.
That's ridiculous.
And it's preserved and heat struck and all of that.
It's like buying French water or Italian water. I mean, who does that anymore? We were going to try another beer. And
the last one.
And so
this is our,
about it.
This is the
dark
Green
offering.
Man Porter.
Mm-hmm.
We have some glasses.
Should I send over my special glass?
Yeah, of course.
I'm so excited. We have glassware and stickers. It's Happy Valentine's Day to me.
Mike, why don't you drop this?
Oh, that's beautiful.
This is our...
Wow.
It's actually not our darkest beer. We have a stout out right now, which is actually darker. But our porter can be found around town, and it's got quite a...
Yeah, now I can see through it.
It's got quite a following behind it.
In this really wide glass, I mean, it's almost opaque, but I'm sure in a pint glass you get a little more... Mm-hmm. Light coming through it, but this is a beautiful color.
And this is you're drinking out of the coveted Green Man Globe.
The Globe.
Which,
I'm holding it up for the webcam to see.
Hot off the press.
It's beautiful.
Mike, why don't you talk about the beer for a second?
A porter is very similar to a stout in that it's a dark ale, but it tends to be more on the chocolatey, caramely side rather than the coffee, bittersweet chocolate side. So... a porter is going to tend to be smoother and more chewy and not as dry as a stout is going to be. A stout is going to be kind of like what you would think of an espresso coffee versus a medium roast coffee.
This is relatively light. I mean, it's got a lot of flavor, but it's light and it's got a really, I'm going to say, full mouthfeel. Like
I always like to say it's very full. It's not thin.
Right.
And when people come to our tasting room, if I'm behind the bar, which is probably more frequently than my wife would like. I tell people to close your eyes, and I want you to taste the beer, and then they see the color, and they're just, wow, that's dark. Same for the ESB.
I don't know why it is that we Americans think that dark beer is not good. I've just
Guinness.
Because of Guinness.
We're...
God damn, those Brits, again.
Yeah. well, that's from Ireland, but...
With the chocolatey... nature of the flavor of this, it would make a perfect Valentine's beer.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. You know, pair it with a chocolate strawberry trifle, say.
If you can hang until St. Patrick's Day, we have a, what'd you make there?
We've got a cocoa nib cask of our stout.
Cocoa nib.
It should be offered at the Thirsty Monk downtown on St. Patrick's
Day. Are you calling it the cocoa nib?
Well, I'd like to call it NIB after a Black Sabbath song, but I don't think Dennis will allow me to do that.
Interesting. Okay. This is lovely. I mean, this is, I love them all. And obviously, with this selection of beer, you'd probably be choosing your beer by your mood or your food pairing, but this is just the perfect Valentine's beer, to my way of thinking.
Yeah, all of our beers at Green Man, we are brewed with traditional British malts. So we're using these, you know, imported chocolate malts and caramel malts, and it gives a real full body to the beer that you don't get from using a domestic or German malts.
What is malt?
Malt is a barley that's been sprouted or germinated.
Okay.
And that creates in the barley itself a lot of starch that if it was allowed to keep growing, the seed would use as energy to grow. But a maltster who sprouts this barley stops the process, and so you're left with these seeds that are full of starch.
Interesting.
And, let's leave you with full beer knowledge. Now, there are four ingredients in beer, malt being the most pronounced, lots of it being used in beer. And the other three would be, of course, water.
Bacon.
Loaf.
Got to put bacon in everything these days.
But yeast.
Yeast, barley, water. And what was the fourth besides
malt
bacon?
Hops?
Malt and hops.
Or if it's a big yellow beer, corn, rice, preservatives.
Oh, interesting. We talk about growing hops in our community. You know, we have all kinds of family farms here, and we have all kinds of farmland left over from the tobacco farming industry. Is barley something we can grow here in our area?
Barley, no. It's just not. mean, maybe down in Eastern Carolina, possibly, but it's really more of a Midwest type crop.
Okay.
You know, Kansas and through the Midwest. Up into Canada, a lot of it's grown in Canada.
Well, maybe with global warming, we'll have a shot at barley farming. This is awesome. I love it. You guys have a very special event coming up at Thirsty Monk that I want to tell our listeners about. You've got Pint Night every Wednesday, but this Wednesday...
This Wednesday, at the South location, we'll be featuring Green Man, and we'll have three of the beers on draft, including one we didn't taste today, which is a rum barrel-aged imperial stout.
And, Mike, why don't you tell us the story of the rum barrel-aged imperial stout, because I love this one.
Well, when I was living down in New Orleans, before I moved, I was the head distiller at New Orleans Rum Distillery. And when I recently went back, I picked up a freshly emptied rum barrel and brought it up, and we filled it full of our imperial stout and left it for 3 months. And I called it Kill Devil Stout because Kill Devil is an old pirate name for rum. And I didn't realize that there's also off the coast of North Carolina, there's an area called Kill Devil.
It's the Wright Brothers. That's the Wright Brothers' home, isn't it?
Oh, see, I didn't even know. So it's just a nice happy accident.
All kinds of crazy synchronicity.
We had our first run came out, and it was a huge hit at our tasting room, which was the only place to add it. So Opus is actually getting the first keg to the United States.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. U.S. premiere outside of the tasting room. Well, so you give away pint glasses on Pint Night, right? So mm-hmm. You'll have Green Man pint glasses?
We'll have Green Man pint glasses, and for very few select people, we'll have some globe glasses to give away.
Put this over here off to the side.
Yeah, you get to keep yours.
It's a rare edition. And what else you got going on at Thirsty Monk these days?
Well, downtown, we've just added, speaking of Green Man again, we added four local taps to mm-hmm. our upstairs tap room. So we have 20 taps upstairs now, and four are always going to be dedicated for local breweries. And I believe we have the Green Man on top there. If not, we'll rotate out and have it on soon.
Thank you, Caroline.
And we've got some great kegs coming up. We've got Sweetwater doing a pint night downtown. And next week, cross your fingers. I'm going to see if we can get him in the studio. We've got homebrewer legend Charlie Papazian.
Oh, cool.
Coming to town.
Oh, my gosh.
And he'll be...
He's the Beer City guy, right?
Yeah, yeah, he is. He is the Beer City pollster guy.
We're going to have to figure out a way to get Blake out of the studio on Monday so I can sit in again. That's awesome. That would be amazing.
Well, we're going
to
try it, cross fingers.
He's
going
to be
around Nashville.
Can we razz him about being Beer City?
Oh, absolutely.
Or is he going to get a lot of that already?
I think he'll be praised around Nashville.
And you must have your roll-up door open today. It's such a gorgeous day here in Nashville.
It is. We've got people walking up and drinking beer and then escaping to the downstairs where all the lovely Belgians are.
Well, thanks so much. We've really appreciated our time today with Green Man Brewery. And you guys have your own tasting room just south of downtown. I guess that's really becoming part of downtown.
Right downtown on Cox and Buxton. And we open at 4:00 daily.
All right.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Pretzels and mustard as well.
Yes, famous for that.
Lusty Monk mustard, right?
That's right.
More local products here on Local Edge Radio. Well, thanks so much, Opus. We really appreciate it.
It's good to see you again.
Stay tuned. Local Edge Radio will be right back. 252-4348. It's a free-for-all Monday, and we want to hear from you. This is Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk.